and welcome to WonderPod, episode 153. We're down a man this week. John is on assignment in Jamaica attempting to find us a summer studio so that we can get the hell out of the U.S. and well, I guess in Canada, too. So it's just me and Glycinator this week. We've got a pretty big show for you. It's going to be a little gaming and a little not gaming, and possibly a little gamey. So as you heard, I said Glycinator's here, so joining me as he always does is Glycinator.
Yes, hello everyone, and since John isn't here, I guess I'll fill you in on what I'm eating, since he so loves to do that. And right now I'm eating a chocolate chip cookie, so take solace in the fact that I am doing that.
What? What, no Easter candy?
No, actually, I don't have any on me.
I didn't get any.
Now I am sad.
You know, now that you mention it, I don't think I was able to snag any, not even push over neighborhood kids and steal some. Huh. Guess it's time to hit the sale bins at Walmart.
Yep, now's the time to go.
Be my luck, I just end up with Peeps, which I detest. Like, there's no tomorrow. Although, I thought about buying a box of the Creeper Peeps.
Yeah, I was about to say, the Creeper Peeps, yeah.
And figuring out a way to preserve them forever. I mean, they're halfway there as it is.
Mm-hmm. Maybe if you, like, froze them.
It'd be like Han Solo and Carbonite.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you like Peeps? I mean, they were disturbingly disgusting to me even as a kid.
Not really. I'm not really that big of a candy guy in the first place. So.
I am for a few things, but it's very rare. Yeah, I'm not a huge candy guy. I'll go on a Skittles kick every once in a while, maybe something like that. Candy bar here and there. Good high-quality chocolate is something you never turn down unless you're diabetic, I guess. But, yeah. I guess I'll have to remember that. Figure out, make a project preservation to see if you can actually preserve. Essentially, take those Creeper Peeps and make them into your own little miniatures to put in your office or on your computer.
So or you could just get a green stick and paint it, which would probably be easier.
Yeah, but that's not but there's no fun in the amount of damage you could do trying to freeze, microwave, do. That's what you should do. What? How much torture will Peeps take? And the Creeper ones would be more fun because if they do in fact explode, well, that's kind of what they're supposed to do.
Oh, that's a good point. Huh.
Slip down to Mexico.
Must be a video of that somewhere on the internet.
Somebody making Creeper Peeps explode?
Yeah.
I would bet you there probably is. I seriously doubt we're the first one to have the idea. given that that's what they're supposed to do. Oh, real quick, before we get into what we've been playing, for those of you who don't know, there were some rumors rolling around that Minecraft might be VR-capable at some point in the future via the Oculus Rift virtual reality helmet. I almost said FAP helmet. And Oculus Rift's really not. Would you actually be interested in that? Because I've kind of went back and forth and said yes and then no, but for reasons you kind of stated in our Facebook bullshitting.
Yeah, I think it'd be pretty cool, because as we know, Minecraft is pretty immersive. We both had our share of scares with things popping out as when we least expect it. So I think increasing that immersion would just be a lot more fun. Although I think I would rather it be like on a PC version rather than console version. I know that doesn't really apply here, but I'd rather play with a mouse and keyboard than with a controller.
Ooh, I hadn't thought about that, but so far as I know, Oculus Rift is only
with a controller. Yeah.
Oh, is it? I thought it was PC based.
No, this is the thing with the glasses helmet, right?
Yeah,
all the things I've seen is with the controller.
I just never paid that close attention. I was more interested in the tech at the time. I know people have the dev kits because Ben Kachura of Penny Arcade Reports got one. So I know the dev kits are out there, as is the Oya kits to the Kickstarter people.
That's true.
I'm just going to leave it at that. that it actually shipped and it made it out there. Message sent. Where that message goes. Good enough. Let's get into what we've been playing. What have you been playing this week, Glycinator?
All right, well, I've been playing some more Awesomenauts, but I won't go into that since I'm tired of talking about it.
I keep seeing you popping up on Steam.
You should buy it. We could play some games.
I do need to buy it. You're right.
You probably get addicted pretty fast. But also this week, this is really random, but I went home for the weekend, or for first part of the week, and I pulled out an old NES I have in my house, and I played McKids. And for those of you that don't know, McKids is a McDonald's game that they put out, like a game that they put out for advertising, and it's not for kids. I'll tell you that right now. The game is hard. It is a hard game. It's a 2D platformer, side scroller. It's sort of in the vein of Super Mario Brothers 2 plus Super Mario World with the overworld from Super Mario Brothers 3. So anyway, the plot of the game, if you care about the plot at all, is you're these two kids. You need to be this white kid, or you can be the black kid with the afro. And the Hamburglar has stolen Ronald McDonald's magic bag. And you have to go through all these crazy worlds, like Ronald McDonald's world, Grimace's world, Birdie's world, the Hamburglar's world, to go get back Ronald's magic bag. This game is so odd and so strange that I initially put it in just to like laugh at it. And I've had this game for a long time, but I usually just show it to people, just say, hey, look, this is funny. And I never really tried actually playing it. And so this week, my roommate was over at my house, and we 100% beat it. And like I said, the game is not for kids. This game is incredibly hard. The platforming is very difficult. I cannot see anyone under the age of 10 even getting close to finishing this game. Basically, you can get to the end of the levels by crossing the finish line at the end of the level. But just because you beat the level doesn't mean you beat the level. The only way you can get to other worlds is if you collect cards in each level. And these cards aren't just like, oh, there's a card. They're like incredibly hidden. You have to go through secret passageways. You have to do crazy platforming stuff. It's not easy at all. And the game is incredibly complex as well for an NES game. You can pick up blocks like you can pick up plants in Super Mario Bros. 2 and you can throw them at enemies. You can pick up these blocks and you can put them into like blank spots and the blocks will appear there, like in Super Mario World with the different block places. And they have these triangle things that when you hit them, they put you back to the beginning of the level. Like you hit them and you spin all the way back to the beginning of the level. They have reverse gravity platforms where if you run across, you will reverse gravity in the level. And like you can do platforming upside down on the same level, which is ridiculous. I mean, the amount of stuff in this game is incredible. I don't know who designed the levels, but they're amazing. The game is also incredibly creepy. All of the character designs don't make any sense. Like they have these gophers that just smile at you as you kill them. Ronald McDonald looks like a pedophile as always. Grimace looks like he's totally baked. And he also doesn't speak English correctly, so that confused us because he gave us a hint on where to go, but none of his words made any sense. And the Hamburglar lives in a volcano. And they have these fire demons that chase you on these bridges. It isn't, like I said, it's not for kids, but it was a lot of fun beating it. It got hard at times. We only died once. But other than that, we got through. The last boss kind of sucked, but I mean, it feels really rewarding to beat these old NES games. Like I did over winter break, we beat Metal Gear Solid, the original, or Metal Gear, whatever it's called. And I don't know, you just don't get that reward from beating a newer game just because you gotta leave the console on if you go somewhere or whatnot. You know, just make sure that your game, because you can't save, you know, you gotta leave it on. So I had a fun time playing it. I probably will never play it again, but it was fun to play it while we did.
I have one question, and you know me and my dislike of certain color schemes and things. I guess I should fill the audience in that Glacinator, I learned two things. Glacinator posted a picture of him and his roommate playing it. Apparently beards are in at college now, which I totally endorse. Because I usually grow one in the winter too. Does the whole thing look as dreadful as that one picture on the screen of congratulations, you beat it?
Yes. I mean, the grass is puke green. The sky is awful blue. Everything has a smiley face on it. They have Ronald helicopters heads that you jump on. I mean, it's what you would expect a McDonald's game to look like from the 1990s, early 1990s.
Now, as much as we spend a lot of our time around here going, it's about story, stupid, you see stuff like that. Like, I will even give VVVVVVVVagina credit, because while its colors I don't like, at least it's not seizure inducing by itself.
Oh my goodness. Oh, they have these levels where there's waterfalls,
Right.
and they repeat the waterfall texture too fast, and for some reason the waterfalls are like black and white, and it literally looks like, you know, like a static, on like a static screen, but it's moving up and down, and it messes with your eyes so much that you can barely tell what's happening. If I could find a picture of it just repeating, I'll send it to you. You'll probably have a seizure just looking at it.
So what they essentially did was cut and paste left to right, or right to left.
Yeah, pretty much. This is a repeated texture pattern.
Yeah, they had like
Just
a.
flashing, just like over and over again.
There's some of that in like the early Final Fantasies, and I think even Chrono Trigger, where it's pretty, you know, where it's pretty obvious that the textures were only say like 320 wide by 800 tall, and they just cut and paste left to right, and animated them, so you could kind of see edges and shimmers and all these other things.
Okay, I typed in McKid's waterfall into Google, and the first video that came up was McKid's waterfall seizures. So
So
there you go.
yeah. Also, by the way, what have you been playing anything else?
Oh no, really, that's about it for this week.
Okay.
I mean, the game took us about, it was over the course of 2 days. I think we spent about 8 hours on it. We didn't really use a guide except for when we got stuck at one point, but
Is there actually a walkthrough for that game?
yes, someone made an FAQ.
That's
Some
almost.
poor soul took his whole week making an FAQ on where everything is in that game.
That's almost more awesome than the game itself. That somebody actually took the time to do a frequently asked questions or a step-by-step walkthrough. Oh yeah, here it is. Oh, this
Yeah,
is
it's
the
about
that's
halfway, through.
okay. I'll watch it later so that we don't drag down the show, because I have Steam open, and it's only taken him like a month of saying it over and over again to me than looking at it on Steam. I just purchased and downloaded Awesome.
All right. Sweet.
So I will be playing that next week. Now, for this week's show, played more Worm Online, obviously. What the hell new game did I try? And just went, yeah, I don't think so. There was an MMO I tried, and I just went, yeah, no. And then immediately deleted it off my computer. I decided to pass on Defiance for the moment. If I see too many more people that I know personally playing and enjoying it in PC, I may be screwed. But for the moment, I have decided that I'm going to pass on Defiance. And if I do get it on PC, I may finally go to the dark side. This will be another great comeuppance for me. I may go to the dark side and just give up and finally get a controller for my PC. That game was just twitchy enough that I think maybe with a controller, or breaking down and paying Microsoft an exorbitant amount of money for a plug-in or a PC capable Xbox controller, it'd probably be a lot better experience. Although I don't think I'd ever see myself going away from keyboard and mouse in total. And then finally, I did beat BioShock Infinite. I'm playing through it again, although I kind of tailed off toward the mid part of this week with my second playthrough. And I got to give them credit for one thing off the top before I talk what little I can about the whole game. They have E-penis achievements for beating it on easy or above, normal and above, and hard and above. Now, when I go through a game the first time, especially something like a BioShock game where I know the story is going to be pretty good, I play it usually on normal, or sometimes I will just default to easy so I can see the story, I can see all the cool things. I don't give a shit about my e-penis size. But what I found really hilarious and really great, actually, is I did have to set it down to easy one time because I was so frustrated with this one boss fight and just said, I really don't want to be doing this anymore. I want to get through this part so I can finish it to talk about it on the next week's podcast, so on and so forth. And that's the only time. It was probably a grand total of 5 minutes. It was turned down to easy, and that's the only achievement I got. I played through the rest of the game on normal, a good almost 95% of the game. So good on you, Rational. I didn't want it either. That's the thing. I thought, if I get this, it's ridiculous, because I did turn it down. But here's what you need to know without going into spoiler territory. It is not the original BioShock. And that's the thing. People that go into it expecting it to top the original, when the original had nothing to top, when it was the what set the standard for this universe or this type of, you know, this particular game series, you know, you just can't do it. It's never, ever going to be the same experience again that you had with the original. If you played it and you loved it. But let me tell you what, it was damn close. I mean, we're talking real close, because the ending sequence takes quite a bit of time to where you're really not particularly doing a lot. And I probably said, holy shit, at my screen 3 times at least. They did a bit of fan service for those of us that have played all 3 games. You know, and the ending, you know, what was not something I was expecting. I was really impressed with that, because I usually ruin games for myself, as I've talked about 1,000 times on this show, by just squirreling out what's going to happen. But funnily enough, when I started to play through it a second time to do a lot of little side missions that were optional and just kind of be able to comb through the entire world, I was able to notice that, oh, okay. You know, so you kind of felt stupid in a good way. You know, you got the swerve. You really didn't know it was coming, but when you take a closer look in the world the second time around, you go, oh. So I'm sure that there's people that figured out what was going to happen, but from top to bottom, BioShock is an example of a game, or BioShock Infinite is an example of a game that is totally worth $60. I would easily pay that again for it in a heartbeat. A lot of fun. Combat was just, you know, was tightened up enough. Outside of that one frustrating boss, there was one other sequence that I would call that frustrating, except it was designed different enough that I was able to get through it without being irritated or whatever you want to call it. And there was probably one other that was quite a bit less frustrating than that, but still a little on the aggravating side. And I found that to be just about right for me. As far as I, you know, real hard grinded out points, but it felt like there was less of them than the original BioShock. I remember being fairly frustrated and ready for the end of the original BioShock. Infinite hit it just about right, as far as I'm concerned. And kudos to Irrational Games. And I do have to say that I saw somebody say this on Twitter, that, you know, 2K Games never really gets a lot of credit for being one of the good guys, or as close to a good guy as you're ever going to get in video games. Because they, you know, you don't ever see their names connected to shenanigans like Activision and EA and Ubisoft. Granted, mostly EA, because that's everybody's favorite whipping boy. But I got to hand it to them. Another stellar game, and I will play through it at least once more, if not twice, before it's all said and done. So that's all we've been playing. So our first topic, or whatever the hell you want to call it, I'm always so unworried about what the breaking the show up into segments anymore. There were rumors earlier this week that Facebook was coming out with its own phone. Now, those cropped up actually as early as a couple weeks ago, and Facebook did have an announcement set for today, the day we record this, Thursday. And so I thought, oh, okay, you know, it's tech news. It's kind of stuff we do here at WonderPod. So I'll pay attention and see what's going on. Well, what it turned out to be is this thing called Facebook Home. Now, it's a home screen replacement. slash Android app. The details are less than adequate as usual, and I really don't want to muddle what we're going to attempt to do with this news by trying to give you every last nugget or nut, every last little bit of information. If you're a fan of Facebook and this is something that's going to appeal to you, there's plenty of resources out there that can get you every last bitter detail of what this is. Now, as of this recording, there's kind of some oh crap, running out of words. There's kind of some dispute as to whether this is going to come standard on some phones or it also will be in downloadable form. We do know for a fact that it's coming out on an HTC handset. I didn't catch a release. Oh, April 12th for $99. We'll have this new Facebook Home. I think that's really all we need to talk about that's relevant to anything we're going to discuss. What did you think of this news, Glacinator? Facebook moving into the... Oh, wait, let me back up. I apologize. One other thing. And it's not an operating system either. The best example I saw was it's another layer. You have this Facebook Home, then you have your apps, and then you have the operating system. Look at it as three layers, kind of like three pieces of cheese, three pieces of bread, three pieces of meat, whatever helps you to visualize. it's a sandwich. And so it's not an operating system. I saw some people saying, "Oh, Facebook's got its own operating system," and it's kind of androgynous if you really want to go there. So, okay, sorry guys. So, what are your thoughts on this move by Facebook to kind of take up your home screen instead of being an app anymore?
Well, as someone who doesn't have an Android and doesn't seem to be wanting to get an Android anytime in the future, I was more interested in how is this going to affect iPhones at all? Because I know Apple's very close with their OS. Would this even exist on an Apple device?
Let's delve into that because I thought about it.
That's what I'm more interested in.
But what was
Because I feel
your
like that would be more encompassing if it was on an iPhone as well.
let's delve into the likelihood of that with Apple's closed system in a minute. But let's
Okay.
just say that this was available for the iPhone.
Okay.
So there's potential that you would have to deal with it. Let's look at it from that perspective. Let's take the Android, iPhone, stuff out of it. Let's just what would your thought what are your thoughts if in fact you had to maybe deal with this new system or layer, whatever you want to call it.
Well, I mean, I like the idea. I mean, there's a lot of people like, oh no, I'm going to have to update Facebook again, or up the herp or derp. But it's whatever. It makes it easier to use. Because I know that I tend to message people on Facebook more than I text them in real life. Just because some people like don't want to use texting, whatever. They don't want to use their minutes or whatever. And Facebook is just easier that way because you can just do it online and you don't have to worry about any prices or anything. You can easier it's easier to share pictures, easier to see what's going on. And so it's annoying on iPhone, especially like when you are going back and forth between someone messaging you on your iMessage stuff and then someone messages you on Facebook and you have to exit the app and then switch over again. And it seems like this is taking that out, and so you can just seamlessly go like these are your messages plus Facebook. Facebook connects this to this, and I think that makes more sense. And I understand also that Facebook needs to stay relevant. I mean, because I know, and especially with these social network stuff, it can expire really fast. I mean, look what happened to MySpace. I mean, who uses that anymore? So they're gonna have to try to stay relevant if they want to stay, relevant. Basically, that's bad phrasing there, but that's the truth. So I mean, I like it. I mean, I don't know why so many people are fussing about it. I mean, that just might be my news feed, but whatever.
So it is more your target demographic, going back to stuff we were talking about that was it because, I messaged a grand total of five people on it. And that's it. I use text, email, or other social media.
I mean, I guess so. I mean, because I started using Facebook freshman year of high school, so I still have all my friends from high school on there, so I can see what they're doing and everything, even though they're in different states now. So I don't know. There's a lot of people to keep track of. I say that quoting air quotes. So.
Well, I mean, I think what earlier we said that it was probably more for the teenage, you know, 12 to 15 year old, 16 year old crowd.
The other article you sent me about all the Tumblr stuff, I don't know about all that. He sounded a little.
He sounded like, I'm sure before this is all said and done, people will accuse me of. He sounded like somebody that did not have any use for Facebook. And while it had the basic facts there and premise, we can't sometimes control the stories we use. I would rather have used a story that had more of a neutral tone for sure. But yeah, I'm skeptical of some of that stuff too. But I do think that your age group, let's say 20 to 30. You know, is probably important, but I think it's probably the 12 to 18 that this is really targeted at, you know, that really don't use text messages and all that old timey stuff.
Yeah, I mean, because these kids have grown up, you know, with Facebook messaging, you know. Some of them probably haven't even ever sent a text, you know.
Oh, exactly. Which leads me to my assertion about this, whether it's on iPhone or Android, I don't care. I'm going to split it down the middle. I'm going to look at it from a business perspective as far as Facebook doing this, and then I'm going to look at it from a personal perspective. From a business standpoint, this is brilliant. If you put yourself and your company on the first page or home screen of a phone, then that's going to make your user base more likely just to use that rather than use messaging, rather than use email, rather than to use, you know, whatever, other IM programs, you know. So it kind of makes sense from a business perspective, and given that they have launched an email service that people may or may not use and done other things of that nature, it's obvious that their prime target is Google, which makes this announcement and the fact that it's happening even more interesting, because either Google is comfortable enough in their position to just let it happen and see what happens, or, you know, there'll be future shenanigans on down the road from Google, you know, because Google's Android is Google and Google is Android. So, you know, it's kind of a little bit of you know, making your stand on a competitor's platform. The problem is, and this is where it gets into what I will call the personal side, although I know for a fact I'm not alone in this, I really kind of wish they had perfected their current system before they jumped into something new that could break at a drop of a hat. I have constant issues with their apps already. And, you know, you can sit there and go, oh, well, yeah, but you use that shitty Android. Works great on an iPhone. Bullshit. I've got an iPhone. It's an older one, but I've got one of those. I've got an Android phone, and I've got an Android tablet. And if that's not enough for you, I've got a PC. And on any given day of the week, those four devices, it's a crapshoot whether Facebook's sending me my notices, is loading in a timely manner. The PC's really been hit or miss and laggy as shit in the last 2 weeks. Even after doing all their suggested troubleshooting, you know, so you're not going to convince me to use something as a person or, you know, as a consumer that hasn't worked that well for me in the past. You know, it's essentially to me like accidentally setting fire to your kitchen, saying, ah, fuck it, and going next door and building another house while the other one's still burning to the ground. You know, the other things are still going to have issues. You know, are they going to support their apps? Are they going to support the standard old Facebook app once this new Facebook Home, you know, is up and running and doing whatever they want? Back to the business perspective for a minute, at least from my view. Wall Street's up their ass. Zuckerberg can act like Zuckerberg all he wants, but Wall Street is up their ass, and I bet they're tasting shoe leather at this point, to perform better. You know, because they are an internet-only company, essentially, except for some minor physical infrastructure. And so they got to start making more profits. Or, you know, Mr. Zuckerberg could see his company taken away from him by angry shareholders at some point in the future. Yeah, I think he currently holds a majority share enough to forestall that, but Zuckerberg better be careful. He's known for having an ego, and I said this when they went public, that it's, you know, it's a double-edged sword. Which leads us to what Glazenator brought up a little earlier, Facebook's other competitor, who is not known for being open at all. You know, I mean, actually, Glazenator, you know, this thought just popped into my head. Isn't it fair to say that in the mobile world, Apple is Microsoft and Android is Sony?
Wow.
At this point,
That is, yes. That's a perfect comparison right there, I think.
because it seems to be that Microsoft doesn't give a shit about making it easier for younger developers to publish on their platforms, whereas Sony's supposedly has open arms and just loves indie developers and all. You know, once you cut through the bullshit, who knows what
Who's Nintendo?
BlackBerry? No, I don't think Nintendo's quite that toast yet. But
Nintendo is those Firefly phones, like for kids. They can only call like three numbers, like 911,
home and
like home, and like the pet shop.
or it could be or it could be the jitterbug. You could go the other way
Yeah,
too. It could be the
that thing.
jitterbug. You know, the phone that you could dial with your face because it's for old people. Well, you're not old enough to remember, but they used to have push button phones that the numbers, no kidding, were a half inch by a half inch across. You could dial it with your face for old people so that they could actually push the buttons. I'm gonna have to find one of those at a yard sale, put it in my office, as something to talk about. Anyway, are we gonna see this on the iPhone at all, or has Facebook just realized that Apple's closed system and dealing with Apple is probably more hassle than it's worth, and for once going with the wide open Android platform, even if it's one of their major competitors, is probably a better deal?
I mean, Facebook would love to have this on the iPhone, no doubt. I mean, that increased their user base immensely. But Apple's going to be so stingy about what they allow them to do and not to do, and like, oh, this it can't access this, and oh, it has to activate this way, and da da da. That I think they're just going to just going to say, screw it, you're not going to have it, you know?
So you think there's like zero likelihood then, or do you give it a little bit of a shot?
I give it a small percentage, and if anything, if it does exist, it will exist at the bare minimum that it can exist. It'll be a totally shrunk from what it originally is looking like right here.
Well, not to mention, I seriously doubt that Apple's going to let it be the home screen.
Yeah, that's the main thing about having the closed OS, you know. There, that's just too much accessibility.
Believe you me, and I
You know,
think it's
Apple's like the crazy cat lady, you know, that doesn't like anyone in their house, you know.
that's also a good analogy for Apple. Well, I think it's technically right now illegal again to jailbreak phones, but believe me, as hard as it can be to jailbreak one of them fucking Apple products. you know, I could legally download a rootkit for my Android phone at about 9 billion places and pretty much make it a remote control to open my garage door if I wanted to. you know, without having to take it apart as compared to Apple. I mean, it is really the Sony Microsoft comparison that popped into my head a day or so ago, and I thought, holy shit, it really is. And it doesn't sound like it's going to get any better if you do. And that's not just a cheap tie into gaming, that's just a cheap tie into culture. You know, Apple's culture has always been very secretive and closed and private, and Google saw that and went, well, hell, let's go the other way and see what happens.
Yeah, it's the two extremes.
Exactly.
You're gonna have that in
Yeah,
any market.
because the middle is such an evil, cowardly ground. God help us all if you actually balanced it out between the two. You know, to be honest, as much as I'm on you know, the iOS games or apps and Android games or apps, there's probably a proportional more. There's probably proportionally more crap on Android, but it ain't that much. It ain't as much as some people'd like you to think, because there's a lot of shit on Apple too. It amazes me that people will jump through hoops with iTunes to put shit on there that's not going to do anything. Okay, so the final thing I guess we'll talk about with this is they're not making a phone per se. Do you think that Facebook will ever jump into the full phone, making their own phone, a la Sony with that god awful Xperia or whatever the hell it was called? And is there a market for it?
I think if this does well, I could totally see that happening. I mean, this seems to me like they're sort of testing the waters a little bit. Like, could this, flow with a phone work? And if it works, as a part of the sandwich, like you said, then maybe they, could attempt to do the whole sandwich. So I'd say it as an extreme possibility.
Now, here's where it gets interesting. And I saw this because I watched the I watched the live stream long enough to make three or four jokes at Zuckerberg and what a goofy asshole he looks like. And then I quit. But he was quoted as saying that he just didn't see a market for it, that they'd only sell 10 to 20 million handsets at most, and that's not enough. Which I kind of tend to agree with him, because, goddamn, I didn't think this would come up twice in the show. I kind of look at it, if Facebook made a handset, or anybody else that's going to attempt to jump on the handset market, it's going to be like an Oya console or Valve's Steam Brigade, or unfortunately starting to look more and more like Nintendo. There's really only room for two at the top, and then there's a lot of little bastards biting at their heels trying to get a scrap here and there. And Zuckerberg seems to think that. Do you think he's right, or do you think he's underestimating the Facebook army of fans?
No, I think he's right now. I mean, because I really don't know how well this thing works, how well it's going to work, whether it works at all. So, like I said, I think that if this does turn out working pretty well, then I think there is a possibility that they'll go on to do other things. But as of right now, if they came out with a phone right now, it would not work.
It'd be like that Sony one.
Yeah.
Four people bought it, and that was just employees of Sony that were forced to. I fully admit that part of this could be the fact that I've never found Facebook to be a useful service, personally. It's tolerable at best for us doing this show, the way I look at it. I just see them doing still great, but grasping at straws a little bit. Like, let's try this and see if it gets us more money. Let's try that. Da, 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 da. And there's a tipping point. There's a point where you reach the peak, and you hope that you kind of slide down the backside, staying still relevant. I mean, if anything, as much as I was making fun of BlackBerry before, BlackBerry just didn't fall off the face of the earth and go broke and go bankrupt. They're headed there probably, but they're kind of slowly sliding down the other side. And while you can argue favorite social media and be stupid and say one shit because you love another, there's more players in the game now. Whether they're relevant, like we were talking about with that Mashable article. I mean, because Tumblr I can see a little bit, but some of these others, Keek and Snapchat, I think you got to get a little bit more namespace, name recognition going.
Mm-hmm. Those are very niche right now.
Yeah, as two nerds, we knew instantly what Tumblr was. I have one, but I had never heard of Keek and Snapchat before, and my head's kind of buried in news like this all the time, so you'd think I'd at least know, And I actually try and maintain accounts on all social media. I mean, I've got Twitter, obviously, Facebook, obviously, Google+, Pinterest, Clout, LinkedIn, Tumblr. I mean, so it's not like I don't use these services, some more than others, obviously. There's a lot out there, so it's very interesting. I'll be curious to see how this does. I think they're going to do just fine because, Facebook is still totally a powerhouse, but they should be careful on overextending themselves. I just don't know. So Let's.
I mean, where else would you think they could go if they don't go with the phone route? I mean,
I think they're trying to. I think they're trying to compete with Google in every arm that they do. So I think, you know, they've made kind of forays into search engines. I could see them going into search engines, an honest to God outside set aside email, you know, like Gmail is, or like whatever, mm-hmm. Hotmail or Yahoo, you know, that's part of a network of companies or things and infrastructure, but it's separate. Like, you know, I don't have to go to Facebook to check. You know, I don't have to go to google.com to check my Gmail. I just click on a little button in the top right-hand corner of my, you know, my web browser. I think he's learned, Zuckerberg and his team have learned that part of why Google does so well is because they're so diverse in what they do. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they've got their hands in a lot of pies, and they do a good job when they decide to get into something. At least from where I sit.
Facebook cars would be a terrible idea, though, I think.
Could the horn? Yeah, but that leads to could the horn
would be a thumbs up button
or thumbs down?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like you push it once, you say thumbs up because the person beside you is driving okay, and then the crazy bastard that cuts you off and has to go to the O and stop to actually make a turn around a regular corner on a you know, surface street, you can honk it twice and it gives him the thumbs down. Now the only way I would buy that car is, yeah, I think you knew this was coming. The only way I would buy that car is if you honk three times and it flips him off. Then I'd totally buy a Facebook car. I could see integration. I think that's the next battleground, which, like, people aren't already distracted enough inside their vehicles. I think that's the next battleground is like a level of integration we haven't seen in cars yet. Could be.
It's a little especially with the new Tesla cars coming out as well.
So. Yeah, but they keep getting hammered on. I don't know. The Tesla thing, if the Tesla thing works, it'll be good. Then, yeah, you're probably going to see a lot more. But you think about it, most brand new cars above a real base model, you know, run around puddle jumper has got some kind of touchscreen and navigation already in the center console. God, just saying that makes me feel old because it was a cassette tape player when I was a kid.
No, I don't have one in my car, so.
I don't own a vehicle that's got, I own a vehicle that has a CD player and a jack for my iPhone for music, but so yeah, there you go. Facebook's at it again. A little bit of tech news for you. Hopefully not too much of the business stuff for those of you that don't like that and don't like to think. Let's move on. We just got through a couple weeks ago talking about Disney buying Lucas. And I think the consensus we had was it wasn't necessarily such a bad thing. As we always say on this show, we can be and oftentimes are proven dead fucking wrong. And I suppose this it comes down to how you look at this news. If you don't know by now, Disney took the axe to LucasArts as of yesterday, I think. Yeah, yesterday by the date on this. It is no more. And that is sad, not only for the 150 people who lost their jobs or now unemployed, but because there were two games in development, Star Wars 1313 and the other one that the name keeps fucking escaping me. Star Wars First Assault. You'd think First Assault would be easy to remember. Overall thoughts, first place, on the closing of LucasArts.
I was really surprised. I mean, I know they haven't done well recently, you know, with all the whole Star Wars Connect stuff and all that. But at the same time, I mean, they have made games in the past that I've really liked. Like, I was a big Battlefront player. I had both the first and second one on PC. It was one of my first actual PC games. It's pretty sad, you know. I mean, they're not the company that they used to be, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know. I guess it's pretty sad.
That's great, drinking a big old slurp of water, and I'm not damn muted. This show is going to sound awesome. It's sad. I mean, if you look at it... is there anything left in there? Anyway, so there you go. And for those of you that are longtime listeners, that still does the top slurping.
Oh snap!
I lost my train of thought entirely. This is really sad. But LucasArts, I mean, I looked up their list of games, and I'm not going to waste the airtime to look them up again. But their two biggest claims to fame, for the most part, and we'll probably get somebody telling us that one we missed, was the, you know, Monkey Island series and all the Star Wars games. And like Glacinator, I played Battlefront. I'm slightly older than Glacinator, so it wasn't exactly my first PC game, but I did play both of the Battlefronts. Here we go. Here's the list of LucasArts games. Hey, I was able to talk and chew gum at the same time.
Tim Schafer, I know he worked at LucasArts.
Yes, I think he may have
Was Grim Fandango?
Oh, I forgot about Grim Fandango. See, we didn't even have to wait to get the show done. I forgot about Grim Fandango. Okay, so yeah, Tales of Monkey, or the Monkey Island series, Star Wars, and Grim Fandango. Yeah, and that was the designer was Tim Schafer, and the composer was Peter McDonald. So, yeah, since this is our show and we'll do whatever the hell we want, let's look through some others, see if there's any others I missed. Because, like, being an RPG head, I played both the Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. One was good and the other was not, or had its issues, let's say. You know, but those were BioWare. I think it was just licensed to the license of the Day of the Tentacle.
Never heard of that.
That was not a big game. No, that wasn't a big game. That just name just... There's so many things that could be if you just with that name. It could be a Cthulhu game, and it could be a lot of other things.
They did Rogue Squadron, too.
Yeah, yeah. I had that under the heading of Star Wars games. Yeah, the Rogue Squadron games were really good. The Battlefront games were really good. I guess they got credit for Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. I know BioWare had some to do with that, though.
They also did Zombies Ate My Neighbors. Didn't I know that?
They also did Star Wars The Old Republic, but most people don't like to talk about that. I mean, they did The Force Unleashed and The Force Unleashed 2, but if you're also a longtime fan of the show, you'll know I was not a fan of The Force Unleashed, and so I didn't play The Force Unleashed 2. So, yeah, I mean, they have had their fair share of... Well, they did Angry Birds Star Wars, which is kind of fun. I've got the free version with ads, so I just have to click through ads. But it is fun, kind of hilarious. Yeah, but it's fucking Angry Birds. So they've had their fair share of successes and hits over the years. But, I mean, you look at the total entire list of games, they've also had their fair share of what the hell was that game? Because, like, I'm from that era, and I don't remember the Indiana Jones and his desktop adventures, Indiana Jones and the Emperor's Tomb, the action game, graphic adventure, and that was on Amiga and stuff. I don't remember having any of those. I remember LucasArts being around then, because it said 1982. I remember LucasArts being around, because that logo has not changed. That you know, again, outside of feeling really bad and hoping that the people who lost their jobs today, you know, land on their feet, I guess we need to talk about the fact that Disney may be getting out of the game business. I mean, they killed off Junction Point in February, which was the studio that made Epic Mickey.
I would play that. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it would. Mickey's Epic Yarn with guest starring Kirby. That actually would be kind of awesome. Epic Mickey and Epic Mickey 2, which was Warren Spector was the designer on that. And he's no slouch, if you know anything about Mr. Spector. So they closed down Junction Point in February. And now they closed LucasArts after buying Lucas Lucas Limited or whatever the hell. Again, another thing of subsidiaries stacked on top of subsidiaries. Is there any like conspiracy theorist tinfoil helmet thing we should come up with here? You know, obviously we're not getting Star Wars Battlefront 3. Is there anything that strikes you with those two closings, or is it just Disney's kind of cleaning house?
I mean, you can either take it two ways. I mean, you can take it like the way you just said, you know, they're cleaning house, getting out of the gaming business. Uh-oh. Or you can take it as they're cleaning house so they can set up for something different, you know, maybe combining some things, you know, trying something else, which is what I'm hoping for. But, I mean, with these two news stories, it's not looking like the best thing right now.
Well, in Junction Point, outside of the Epic Mickeys, they did some Kingdom Hearts. And they did what Glacinator had to tell me was their own version of Pokemon franchise, which made all of one game, was on DS and was never heard from again. If you want to look at it, I mean, you can look at it from my perspective that they're cleaning house, or not my perspective, but like I said, the one perspective. That they just the video games are not their business anymore, this, that, and the other thing. But you jump ahead to a story that was from later in the day yesterday. Somebody contacted, and I don't know which blog it was. They get splashed all over every blog. Somebody contacted Disney asking about Star Wars 1313, which we'd seen some screenshots of. And Star Wars First Assault. Was there anything out on First Assault? I have to admit, I was ignorant of the other game. It's probably why I can't remember what the hell it's called. I had never heard of it before this happened.
Is there anything on First Assault?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I remember they were talking about 1313 for sure.
Well, see if you can...
Was there even concept art? I'll check real quick.
We'll do that while I'm slaughtering whatever I'm going to read of the story, because we all know how well I do at that. Let's see. I got to find it first. However, the representative we spoke to said that the company is also evaluating its options regarding projects currently in development, which could be licensed out to external development and publishing partners. It is worth noting that we are looking for proven external partners who can help us provide video games to our fans. We still believe in the video game industry. We still will provide Star Wars games. We're just looking at different models rather than internal production. They're evaluating everything. There's always a possibility that Star Wars 1313 can still come out via licensing. And of course, no word on Star Wars First Assault, which tells me Glacinator probably didn't find shit on it.
It said that Kotaku speculated that it was probably going to come out for Xbox Live Arcade, and it was probably going to be in the same vein of Battlefront.
Oh, that's really probably got some nerds raging then, because I know that there was like a, I don't know, we really need to use like hurricane categories for nerd shitstorms, because, you know, some of them are like, oh, Christ, run for it. some are just like, hey, look, it's raining. There was, like, let's say a Category 2 shitstorm over the fact... Oh, when that Star Wars Battlefront 3 screenshots or whatever leaked. It was basically still in the concept stage, would you say?
Yeah, there is a trailer I'm seeing now. Yeah, it looks a lot like Battlefront. Oh, wow, yeah, this is... It's, like, a little bit more fancy than Battlefront, actually.
Well, that was one of the things that was so good about Battlefront was the fact that it was just really simple and really easy to get into, and you just go shoot dudes in the face. But granted, it's been a number of years since I played it. So I guess the takeaway for you listening is if you were looking forward to either of these games, then it now sounds like I'd probably be more interested in First Assault than 1313, because 1313 looked to me like it was more similar to Force Unleashed. I think that there's potential. You know, I saw some rumblings that it being published externally is very unlikely. But you know, I think I would just take a wait and see attitude if it's at all possible for you out there in listener land. You know, I'm I'm even laughing at how cheesy that was, or disturbed, because I think there's too much unknown right now. Does any of that sound about right outside of listener land?
I just read this comment. It's pretty, Disney just executed Order 66.
Oh, is that what you were laughing at on my lame listener land thing? Oh, okay. Yeah, that actually is. Yeah, they did execute Order 66. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you combine this one with what, 2 months ago, Junction Point being closed. I don't think either of the Epic Mickeys did real well in the sales department. And from what you were telling me, the 3DS Kingdom Hearts didn't do really well. So that one could have been more due to lack of performance. I'm pretty sure both Force Unleashed did rather well. I don't want to say stellar.
And the first one did okay, I'm pretty sure.
First one did good. And outside of really janky controls, it was, the story was good, and then it was Star Wars. It was fun being in that universe. The controls and camera just really pissed me off. which I suppose is a pretty major thing, but it had promise, it had elements to where you could milk it for a while if you wanted to. So I think the bottom line is, our sympathies go out to the people that got laid off, to those of you raging that you're never going to see either of these games. I mean, rage if you must, it's always fun to read your comments, but all scattered all over the internet. But I think a wait and see attitude might be the best thing you could do. Okay, moving on, and these next two little bits of news, good Lord only knows how long they'll take us, because there's not a ton there, but I found both of them interesting. Oh, for different perspectives. Let's do the real quickie. Crytek USA to bid on Darksiders XP. And if you, just so you know, or if you don't know, Crytek USA is composed of people from Visual Studios who made Darksiders 1 and 2. I don't know. It says they're going to bid on the Darksiders IP, and they're hoping to get it. All they're saying in this story is when it goes up for auction. I'm trying to see. It looks like the auction, it's a mail-in auction, or it's not like there's some hillbilly in bib overalls screaming numbers at you. It looks like the auction will take place April 15th, which is kind of ironic if you stop and think about it. So basically, my comment to you is that, hey, for those of you Darksiders fans, looks like the Vigil staff, as Crytek USA, will get their hands back on the IP, and you may get another game. Mr. Glacinator, any thoughts at all?
No, I mean, I played the first Darksiders. I mean, it wasn't for me, but I mean, I hope for everyone that likes the game and for the people that made the game, they get their franchise back.
I never have been a huge fan of Crisis. I actually went ahead and let somebody spoil the first one for me to explain the story points to me, and it sounded really dull and unimaginative, and so I never got into it. And I, again, don't really care how shiny and pretty it looks and how they use lens flare and bloom and all that. Which is kind of ironic looking at this screenshot of the Frostbite 3 engine I'm staring at. Anyway, so, Crytek has never had anything I wanted to play per se, but that does not mean they're not a good studio. And I think them taking in the ex-Vigil staff and making this game, or getting a hold of the IP, is a really cool thing. Yeah, I couldn't remember. That's why I kind of kicked it to you either way, because I couldn't remember if you liked it or if you were like me and it just really wasn't for you.
Yeah, I mean, like, it wasn't a bad game. It didn't catch my attention.
Right. Yeah, no, it was a perfectly acceptable game. I mean, I got through probably three quarters of it before I just went, yeah, no, glad I bought the shoes. So that's good. So for those of you that are Darksiders fans, and I know we have at least one or two in the listening audience, there you go. It's going to be coming back, maybe. So you can play Darksiders. Let's see. They got at least two more horsemen, don't they? So they can get at least two more games out of it.
Yeah, they still have to do, I guess,
Pestilence
famine.
and Famine.
Yeah,
You
they
know,
did war and death already.
I might have to play with the one with Famine, because that's going to be some interesting powers. I mean, what's it gonna do? Make you starve to death?
Good
Pestilence will
point.
at least be fun, you know, flinging hordes of maggots and flies and whatever else pestilence. Whatever else qualifies for pestilence, trolls, Carlos, you know, I mean, there's more to work with that horseman than there is famine. So, yeah, that leave it to the crew at Wonderpod. And hey, they can always, it's the game industry, they can always invent new ones. You know, hangnail, slight rash that's really bothersome. I'll leave it at that before the STD jokes start.
Splinter.
Split? No.
Paper cut. Itchy nose.
Obesity from playing too many video games.
Obesity. I am diabetes. Watch as I shoot French fries into your mouth.
No, I just thought of this. Oh God, I just thought of this. Craig Ferguson, his little robot sidekick dude, does a great Wilford Brimley impression. And have you ever seen those diabetes commercials with Wilford Brimley? Have you at all? He's he hawks like a diabetic medication service on in a commercial.
Diabetes.
Yeah, and he sounds
Diabetes.
like he's going to kill you if you don't order this stuff. Like you want to order it even if you don't have diabetes. So here's my thing. That's a long setup for the joke, but here's my thing. If there's gonna be a diabetes God of War or God of War, Darksiders, then I want it voiced by Wilford Brimley. That's what I want.
You should look like Ronald McDonald.
Or Burger King, one of the two.
They ride on each other's shoulders and like you can switch off.
Saturated fat flying everywhere. Wait, this podcast is turning to us making games again, and ones that would not get published because I could already think of five lawsuits off the top of my
But then we play the game. The is brood does Broodmother have diabetes, I guess?
Broodmother's got some issues. That may be. You know how hard it was, you know, with little known fact. I decided a full boob shot was probably, even in video game form, was probably not my smartest idea. It's really hard to move text around to cover all that crap the way that picture is in the banner. It took me a minute or two. Let's move on before this gets any worse. Also tonight, the Frostbite 3 engine. Or four, depending on what Glacinator and I were fucking up last week. It's three. Yeah, that's actually probably an important point. It's actually three. We finally figured it out. Of course, it was showed off at GDC with a 17-minute-long trailer for the new Battlefield 4. Glacinator and I talked about that last week. That's not the point of this article. People were bashing on there because it looked like it was just a graphical upgrade, nothing else. And of course, DICE responded with saying that, you know, they are focusing on an entire game engine with a better tool set, not just prettier graphics. Now, DICE did say that, you know, this isn't going to be like the CryEngine or Unreal or Unity, you know, where they're just going to release it and anybody can pretty much jump in and start figuring it out. That may sound a little arrogant, you know, like, oh, your engine's that much more complicated. But knowing how DICE does things, it probably is. They're Swedes. You know, and it's already going to be used for the next Dragon Age game. Probably the only thing it doesn't come with is a write good story function, which Battlefield could use. I guess what I want to ask you, Glace, I guess really the only cheesy question I could ask you is, it's a little bit lame on the media, and let's leave gamers out of this, they're lame anyway, on the media's part to just hammer on DICE for just, you know, oh, it's just a perk graphics upgrade without really asking them, wasn't it? I mean, a game engine has to be a tool set. Or do you believe, like some people, that maybe it wasn't quite time yet to go from Frostbite 2 to Frostbite 3?
I mean, Frostbite 2 really just came out, you know, for Battlefield 3. So I guess I'm more in the group that does think that this is a little fast. I mean, if they can prove me wrong, more power to them. But personally, I feel it's way soon.
There really wasn't anything broken in 2.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there was no noticeable glitches or mechanical issues with. I'm not talking about actually playing rounds against other humans. That's just a whole other thing that a game engine can't control.
Yeah, I understand why they didn't wait until the next console cycle to do the next engine.
That'd make
more sense to me.
But that's the thing. The speculation is, and I think it's probably pretty valid speculation, is that that Battlefield 4 is coming out on the next gen as well as this gen. They're pulling a Sony with kind of, you remember how Sony released stuff on PS2 and PS3 for a while?
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of doing that with Battlefield 4, if you believe the speculation. But there's some kind of weight behind that speculation that tends to make me at least think it's probably true. Does that change your opinion? Maybe there's something in the Frostbite 3 engine that's necessary for the architecture of the PS4, what little we know about it, and in the 720, which we know nothing about.
I mean, I guess it's a possibility, but at the same time, I still understand why they didn't just, you know, wait till they could fully, you know, go into, you know, the new hardware. I mean, you're increasing your market by having it on two consoles at the same time, but you're sort of limiting yourself into what the engine can do, you know? So this is more like Frostbite 2.5, I think, than Frostbite 3. That's what it seems like.
That does make sense, unless there's something, you know, I mean, unless there was something in the guts that just didn't. I mean, I'm actually kind of in your camp. I got a little sick and tired of the, you know, that's why we did the story. I got a little sick and tired of the yelling and screaming, well, it's just prettier graphics and nothing else. Well, Jesus Christ, you guys lap up everything Name Redacted Number 2 says when he's talking about more polygons. Why is it bad for DICE to do it? You know, was my first reaction. But then, you know, some people were saying, quite right, and like you did, that, you know, Jesus, this is a little soon, isn't it? So if I had to take a wild guess, the only thing I can figure is maybe there's something that's not going to work with the PS4 or the fuck it, I'm still going to call it the Durango. It hasn't even been announced yet. You know, but like we said last week, and that's the even funnier thing. So they made this brand new engine, but think back to what you and I said about, will we be purchasing Battlefield 4 next week or last week? You know, that's the other thing where we're making a brand new engine seems a little silly at the end of a console cycle. And where I totally agree with you, you know, mm-hmm. That's not what was wrong with Battlefield 3.
Yeah.
The engine worked perfectly fine.
Just everything else was sort of...
Yeah. So, but I mean, I understand why DICE... Let me rephrase that. Can you understand, though, why DICE did want to explain that there's just more to it than prettier graphics?
No, yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, they're going to make it sound nice, you know?
Well, and I mean, if you are going to go to the trouble of making an engine this soon after your last one, probably a good idea to make it a complete engine. You know, just mm-hmm. throw something out the door and go, here, have Frostbite 3. We'll see. Maybe this is part of some, you know, the other thing I just thought of is maybe this is part of some larger scheme where, you know, they plan to change engines sooner than others. Actually, you know, now that I think about it also, too, it says right here that it's being used for the next Dragon Age game. Maybe there was something in that Frostbite 2 couldn't do.
Well, that's a good point.
And maybe that's fully next-gen console. I don't know. Given the first two Dragon Age, given the first two Dragon Age games, I think those could have been made on Frostbite 1. But that might again be my distinct dislike for Dragon Age. Did you see anything this week? We got one other thing to cover real quick, and it's actually going to be a little we'll get to it. Did you see anything else this week that caught your eye other than me telling you about VR gaming and Minecraft?
Not anything I can think of the top of my head right now.
Actually, let's talk about the VR thing again a little bit, even though we kind of threw off the, we kind of probably confused the audience a little bit with talking about it right off the top of the show. Would that be enough for you to purchase an Oculus Rift? Or would it be like any other hardware, and, you know, it kind of needs the software to go with it before you'd be willing to purchase something like that?
like I said, I'm a software guy, so it's going to need the games for me to get interested. I mean, Minecraft is great and all, but I mean, I've already played Minecraft, so I'd like to see some newer stuff, you know, that really like it, the, that the system was designed for.
Right, and but does that give you hope?
Oh, yeah, it makes it more appealing, definitely, but it's still not the thing to push me over the edge.
Right, yeah. but where I was going was, does that give you kind of the hope or at least confidence that if you know developers like Mojang and it looks like Valve and I've seen some others are at least interested in this technology this time around, that it probably has a better chance than the last time around?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think this thing will do fairly well, you know, because it's getting, because of the support it's getting, you know, and that's the most important thing.
I oftentimes wonder how much that's Carmack politicking. And rightfully so, because the tech works. You know, but I do wonder how much John Carmack's influence has helped this project along. With other, you know, let me put it another way. Are other industry, inside the industry guys, less skeptical because Carmack's on board? Does that make sense finally?
Maybe. That's too hard to say right now. I can't.
I don't have a definitive answer either, but it's something I've thought about because, I mean, come on, it's John Carmack. the man that made Doom and Quake. So, you know, I mean, it's easier to, I suppose probably to some people, it's easier to believe that's going to work than, you know, something that doesn't have a name attached to it. Maybe.
Yeah.
So, who knows? The dev kits for Oculus Rift have gone out. I think we may or may not have covered that a couple weeks ago. But I do know of people in my social media universe that actually have them. And finally tonight, this just actually happened late this afternoon. The movie and film critic Roger Ebert passed away. And I'm sure now that that's come out of my mouth that people are already thinking, oh, good Lord, you're gonna trash on a dead guy. No, actually, I'm not. Because as much as I disagreed with Ebert about video games, and as much as I thought he really probably shouldn't have even went there, the man was a hell of a film critic. The man was a hell of a writer. When I was younger, I really enjoyed watching Siskel and Ebert. As much as you can enjoy a movie review show. You know, I mean, you think about it. Siskel and Ebert could probably work today on YouTube. You know, for that format for, you know, reviewing movies. I mean, obviously the world has moved on much further. So I was saddened to hear of his passing. Yes, his reputation and relationship with gamerdom has not always been the best, but I am willing to put that aside when looking at the man as a whole. And so I was saddened to hear of the passing of Roger Ebert, and the fact that we were never really able to bring him around to the fact that not just movies are art, that a lot of things are art. Glacinator, any thoughts on the passing of Roger Ebert, or did you know about it? Because it like literally hit like 2 hours ago, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I heard about it. I mean, while he never, like you said, came around to the side of games as art, you know, he still had good commentary on movies. I mean, he really did. You know, his reviews were fun to read. I especially love reading the reviews about terrible movies that he had to sit through. That's always fun. And I feel like tonight I'm going to go watch Ratatouille. And I don't know if you've ever seen Ratatouille, Bruce, but that's the Pixar movie with the rats in Paris. And you think that the movie's about, you know, about these rats cooking, but really the main character of the movie is the food critic. And he has some really insightful words to say about, you know, criticism and, you know, about how being harsh can help and hurt people, you know. So if you like watching a good movie tonight, I would suggest watching Ratatouille in light of this news.
Is it based on him or
I think it is. Yeah, I think the food critic is loosely based on him.
I think it's on Netflix. I think I saw it was on Netflix.
He gave the movie 4 stars, so I think he could tell it was appealing to him.
so it was proof that if maybe the food critic got picked on a little bit, or however you'd like to put it, that he could take a joke.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he
was overly harsh in the beginning, and he learned that sometimes you have to be harsh, but at the same time, his last line is, "Not everyone can be a great artist, but a great artist can come from anywhere." So,
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I think most. Why did I hit the mute button? I think most of the time, when gamers get attacked, we lash out so much that you forget, sometimes the rest of the person. And I think that was truly the case at Ebert. I mean, I was not happy with him for saying that. I thought it was really incorrect and stupid, but you cannot discount the rest of his career. it's really hard to. And believe it or not, most of the gaming press that's decided to say anything about it has been rather, respectful, which is good. What's all this then?
Oh, that's just the
way it looks. This is a picture. I'm seeing some similarities there. So we are sad to hear of the passing of Roger Ebert, even if he didn't always, if he wasn't one of gamers' favorite people. I think that's it. Maybe a short show for this week, but that's what you get when it's only two guys. So unless you've thought of anything else in the last 30 seconds, I think we'll call it a night.
No, I think I'm good.
Okay. We have a bunch of ways to reach us. If you'd like to comment or ask us questions or just yell at us for anything we said on the show. I could even see some gamers yelling at us for daring to, pause and take a moment to talk about the passing of Roger Ebert. We have a ton of ways to do that. The ways you can get this show, let's do that first. iTunes, archive.org. We have an embedded player at our website, another place you can go. WanderPodOnline.com. You can just search on Google. Believe me, I've done it. You search WonderPod or WonderPod Online on Google, you'll find us. We have a Facebook. That is actually one way you can communicate with us or communicate with somebody. And that Facebook is WonderPod Online. It's I think there's either a hyphen or it's all one word. We have YouTube channels. But once again, it's kind of, it's kind of all the same name. There's a WonderPod Online YouTube channel. Glacier here has a YouTube channel. There's our very own Pat has his 36 Wii YouTube channel. Chris Lloyd has his Fanish channel. And I think he also puts some stuff on our WonderPod channel. I'm probably missing something. But Twitter. You can follow us on Twitter at WonderPod Online. Or you can email us. WonderPodOnline@gmail.com. WonderPodOnline@gmail.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter at ORIGIM. That's good enough. Until episode 154, I am Bruce McGee. I'm probably going to go try and find a copy of Ratatouille now. See you, people.
All right. See you guys later.